Welcome to Ridge Church Podcast. My name is Jonathan. I'm the lead pastor here. At Ridge Church, our goal is to follow Jesus in every area of our lives. And in this podcast, we will create some space to dive deeper into conversation around some of those areas that we just invite leading experts to come and help us think through what those are. And so today, we want to spend some time talking about the whole area of mental health. Mental health includes our emotional, our psychological, our social well-being. It affects how we feel and think and act and helps determine how we handle stress, how we relate to others, the choices that we make. And it's important at every stage of our life, from childhood and adolescence all the way through to adulthood. So over these couple of podcasts, we've invited three different experts, all who love and are following Jesus, to come and talk to us around this whole area of mental health. And while mental health is something we always need to be aware of, it's particularly important in these days. And so today I have the privilege, the pleasure of welcoming Dr. Josh Cruz with us. Dr. Josh Cruz is a registered psychologist, the pastor of counseling at Village Church. And you've been there almost 7 years.
Mm-hmm, this summer.
Yeah, this summer. And previous to that, you were a professor at Trinity Western University as well.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure. We had the privilege of working together at Village Church for a while. And I just always appreciated your wisdom and your insight and your friendship. And so we're just really glad to have you come and join us today.
Yeah, appreciate it. Been looking forward to this.
Good. One of the areas of expertise that among many that you have is the area of anxiety and depression. So we want to talk about that a little bit today. How did you get involved in that whole area?
So even I kind of fumbled into even being a psychologist in the beginning. That was never the plan. I didn't really have a plan. I was going to be NHL hockey superstar. Then I didn't have that whole growth spurt thing. And so, or the skill, but it was like the determination was there.
Yeah.
And figured, okay, I need to lean into something. And took some psych courses, loved it, thought it was great. And yeah, just kind of ended up like taking it on. Couples I like working with, anxiety, depression, like kind of the big three that show up, relationships, anxiety, depression. So to a certain extent, just wanting to be a therapist, like you need to know these, but then learn to really love working with that, trying to help people either uplifting in depression or even bringing down some of the anxiety in their life and helping them see Jesus in the midst of that, to be able to find that grounding. Yeah. Love that. Like, such a blessing. Like, thank you, Lord, when I get to sit with somebody, it's like reality TV show, and I get to see him working in the moment, or they're coming back in, and man, I'm in a different place right now. And sometimes it's like, okay, God, I can see what you did through me, and other times it's humbling. It's like, he did something outside of me, and I just get to witness that. Man, God, you are good. You are powerful. So love the work that I do.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, and I know you meet with clients, with individuals regularly, right? So this is a day-to-day kind of work that you're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about depression and anxiety. Can you help us sort of define how we think of that? Like, what's the difference between sort of just being kind of blue? Sometimes at this time of year, I get a little bit blue. How's that different than depression? And same thing with being, you know, sometimes people are anxious versus having anxiety. Like, can you kind of help us think around those ways of understanding that?
Yeah, if you look at a continuum, so let's say anxiety. There's worry, concern, awareness of something, and then on the other end you have, let's say, mental illness of generalized anxiety, specific phobia, some of the obsessive-compulsive anxiety disorders. And really it's the depth, severity of it. So what level of functioning is it impacting? So, man, it's getting in the way of me going to work, me engaging with my spouse, my kids, my family, peers. The more significant it is, the more you're starting to knock on the door of this is a mental disorder, mental illness in that sense. Same thing then with depression. It's deeper, darker, more impairing, more discouraged, hopelessness. So you can feel a level of hopelessness, but then I'm hopeless. And the more on that end, you're more in the kind of the clinical end. They're both like anxiety and depression are emotions. It's part of how God wired us. And emotions are adaptive. They're good. They're healthy. They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. Jesus felt an angst. I mean, look at him in the garden. Like there was an angst then there. And so it's not necessarily, is this sinful? It's more of a, he knew what was to come, and anxiety is usually about the future. So what am I anticipating? A desire for control in that. It shows up in our body, like our heart can race, shortness of breath, shakiness, that dry mouth, sweaty hands, palms, armpit, everything. It's basically our body's in alert about what's to come, and that can be okay. Like if my kids are walking near the road and they had zero fear, which when they're really young, sometimes that's the case. It's
right.
Like, you need more fear in your life.
Yeah.
If I had, even this, if I had no concern, no prep, probably wouldn't have bathed, would have come whenever I felt like it or even forgotten about it. But a level of concern helps us. It manages life well. But when it comes to a level where it's debilitating, I can't think clearly, I've got racing thoughts, or if it's more depression, just like I'm in a fog, motivation is really low, it's hard enough just getting out of bed in the morning. Now it isn't just then a concern for life or depression, just there's a sadness there of, hey, there's been a loss or circumstances are difficult. No, I don't even want to go to work. I don't want to engage with people. When you get there, now we're in the like mental health, mental disorder type stuff, and you definitely need help and support in that. So it's not an all bad thing. I think we have to watch that anxiety and depression aren't all bad. They have their function in their lesser forms. It's when the volume's turned up significantly and it persists, like it doesn't go away after a while, then yeah, we're now in a different category and need additional supports and help there.
Yeah, okay. And is that the kind of thing... you know, nature and nurture, right? Like, are some people born with that kind of challenges more, or is it very much based on your circumstances, a combination of both? How do you?
Yeah, it's kind of like a yes or both end sort of thing. And it's hard to tell. Like, I even think, so nature, nurture, and even in the spiritual sense of how much is the question. And I think you'll get people will jump into the camp of, oh, it's all biological. So then if it's all biological, then you need to treat it with just meds. That's
right.
Then the way
right.
out of it. It could be. Yeah, it might be. It's all spiritual. We need a deliverance, or you need to be in the word more, the disciplines, and that will then help it go away,
right.
remit. Or it can be then more of a circumstantial thing. Like, so this event, these events then occurred and I'm going through this. You see this in COVID, like people's symptoms seem to have escalated because of the weight of circumstances, whether it's anxiety, like I'm not sure about job, finances, work, my relationship, their load is heavier, depression, their load is heavier. And it's, man, this is dark right now. This is hard to navigate. I don't know how I'm going to be able to manage this. I then look at, yeah, how much? And so the deeper, the darker, the more severe the depression, then, yeah, make sure you're talking with your doctor. Go get an assessment.
Right.
See what's going
right.
on there. Sometimes you need a bump or a boost to come out of it, especially if there are circumstances around it. Like, so this happened, this hit, I'm going through this. That's when the depression showed up. That's usually, I ask the question of what's it about? When did it come onto the scene? Anxiety can be the same thing. All of a sudden, the relationship became unsteady, and this angst then came over me. Okay, well, that needs to be dealt with. And if we go just biology, then, yeah, we're not going to get to the root of what's going on. But there are circumstances where it's like, no, nothing shifted or changed. I just, there was a deep drop here, or my body, like my system seems to get activated all the time. And, well, what's it about? What's it around? And sometimes no rhyme or reason. That's just what's going on. This is where I wish we had all the levels of neurochemicals in our brain to then say, yeah, your serotonin's down
right.
here. You need an up, like the typical parallel is like insulin and a diabetic. It's like,
right.
Oh, you then need that in order to function and survive there. And well, for some people, that's then the case. But the big piece would be looking at what's going on, when did it start, what is it about? The less you have to answer that, the more likely it is biological. But even there, I'm not a meds first therapist, but meds have their place, absolutely. Exercise can be a component of that. Sleep, like taking care of some of the basics can help with biology. And let's see, did that make a difference? If no, then yeah, maybe we need to look at meds more so. And then that last category over there is then spiritually, what's then going on? Are you engaging with God around this? Even just praying into this, what's going on? What's the nature of my thinking right now? Taking thoughts captive in there as well. And that made a world of difference, or whether it's even deliverance type stuff, that made a world of difference. Well, that tells us it's probably more spiritually
right.
related, but let's tap into all three. Let's just multifaceted approach.
Okay, so how does that, like, if I got all these emotions swirling in my mind, my heart, and my, like, how do I, you know, where do I start? Like, how do I know if it's spiritual or medical, or like, is it just sort of experimentation? And do I need someone to help me with that? Like, do I need to come see you, or can I work that out in my own head?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of how severe is it? I'm a huge component of what, I mean, what's the harm of going and seeing a counselor? And depending on what it is, seeing then a pastor, pastoral counseling around that, hey, this is what's going on. And they might then say, oh, this sounds a little more clinical. Like, let's then have you go here. Or you're meeting with, let's say, a good therapist, and this sounds a little more spiritual. But leaning into that, if it's on the lower end, I mean, and let's say you're not wanting to spend the time or the money right now to then connect with a counselor, then, I mean, I go to God first. Like, let's get the basics, foundation stuff. God, what's going on? You've given me your spirit. Reveal to me what's then happening here. Can you be, as you are, the great physician, wonderful counselor, guide me in this as I, and then we reach out to other people. Hey, here's what's going on. You know what? That sounds a lot like depression. That sounds a lot like, it's like a spiritual battle's then going on for you. And all right, can you support me in that? And that's the huge thing for anxiety or depression. Like, we're relational. We're not meant to do life on our own. And so draw people into that. And with that, God can speak. And just like we're having him as our treatment team head to get clinical, he can then speak through other people and you get to understand it a little bit better. And then the other basics piece in there would be, how's my sleep? How's my nutrition or eating, exercise? Some of those are big. Like, if I slept 2 hours for the last three nights, I would have depressive symptoms. And it might just mean I need more sleep. I have trouble sleeping. Well, then maybe talk with your doctor. Are there ways to get that in check? And that's that rule out piece. And you start to figure out, well, I've accounted for everything then here. Well, then is this more biological? Or maybe I need to go deeper dive into, what is this about? Like, been depressed ever since I lost my grandfather or my spouse or this. And maybe there's grieving work to be done there in order to then lighten that load a little bit more so. And hopefully experience some of the relief, some of the joy that can come that's been kind of put in the dark or put in the corner in the closet for a while. Yeah.
Okay, so what about if I don't feel like it, I just don't feel like talking to somebody, or I'm ashamed of it. Like, you know, I'm like, why am I feeling these things? And like, how do you address both of those things? Either you just don't feel like it, I don't want to get out of bed, much less go talk to somebody, or I'm embarrassed, or I'm ashamed of this.
Yeah, those are big. Those are really big. I'll kind of go the shame route first. Oh, man, and blow it up real big. I mean, shame came Adam and Eve in the garden. First thing, hide and cover. Guilt, shame, then comes in. Primary weapon of the enemy to then, what is wrong with you? Like, why can't you do this? And the thing is, let's look at depression. That negative thinking can be a big part of this. Like, I am flawed. All the shame messages are, I am, fill in the blank, something negative. And the enemy is all over that in there too. And so something's wrong with me. I should be able to get myself out of this. I've got all these good supports around me. Like, this should all just work out. Well, then if that's the case, or if that feels like truth to the person, well, then I'm not going to tell somebody about this, because they're basically going to reinforce, are you kidding me? Like, Jonathan, you're still in this, but you've got a wonderful spouse and family and job and all this too, and how could you? And so shame isolates, pulls us away from other people, and that weight, that load of depression, you're on your own in that. Enemy's got you where he wants you. Right. Depression's just going to stay where it is. So a huge part is with shame, bringing light into it. Mm-hmm. So it loves darkness. It loves hiding. It loves isolation. So it starts with, and this kind of goes into that second part of what you're saying, I don't want to look within myself, like shame there. I don't want to talk about it, let alone even like address it. Like, and it depends on what it is. It could be painful stuff. That's just hard.
Right.
I don't have the energy or motivation right now. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to be in this place, but I'm barely getting out of bed, or personal hygiene stuff is like, that's a win. If I can, I had a shower this morning.
Right.
Well, shame shows up. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
A shower? That's a win for, that's a win for the day if you're super depressed, right? But to actually take a step, and this is the catch 22. I don't have the motivation. I don't have the energy to take a step, but it's a step needed in order to then get. It's almost like a train, like to get the train moving. Like, I can't move a train. No, you can't. But you can start pushing. God, I need your power, your strength, your support. I need the support of others. And maybe one small step at a time, we can get it going. But the more I just sit back in this, which depression wants you to do, sometimes it can be paralyzed in fear, anxiety. I'm not talking to anybody. Shame isolates, pulls back. But yeah, I think that big piece is then how can I stretch myself into a step one? What does that look like? And it really starts with, okay, God, I need you in this. I can't do this on my own. I'm surrendering to you, your love, your power in order to take a step. And then the practicalities often come in. How am I eating? How am I sleeping? Right. Who's in this with me?
Okay. So that's what's happening for the individual. What about the people around that person? What about the loved ones in their lives who are watching this and saying, oh, what can I do? You know, talk just a little bit about, say, in marriage, for instance, because that's probably the closest relationship going on there. You know, how does a spouse walk with someone who's really struggling with anxiety or, you know, fallen into depression? You know, how should they approach that?
Yeah, I mean, first off, it's hard. Like, as we talk about the weight of depression or the kind of the spinning of anxiety there, the more connected you are with your spouse, and if they're going through that, you carry that as well. It's hard. It isn't just, I hope they're better and you have a deep love. They matter to you, a concern. So it's hard. So if you're listening and that's the case for you, like, you're carrying a lot as well. You need your own support. So even a lot of the things we talk about for people going through it, as a caregiver, you need to be getting some of those. You can't be doing this on your own as well. It shows up in many different ways to where it can impact the marriage. It can impact relationships. So how do I help them? The risk would be taking a step back. Like, the bigger you see it is, I don't want to say anything. You hear this a lot with people who have lost loved ones. Like, so-and-so, like, they've stopped talking to me since that happened. Like, did I do something wrong? This is the well-meaning optimism of they see that this is so significant. I don't want to say or do the wrong thing. And usually that's the fear that keeps us on the outside. Thankfully, oftentimes with spouses, it's like, I'm seeing you all the time. I'm going to say something. Here we go.
Right.
Huge part. So I think almost like four parts. So it's ask, listen, support or resource, and pray, okay. Which is huge. Huge. And sometimes support or resource isn't necessary or there isn't space for it, but huge is ask, listen, and pray. And so the ask would be, how are you doing? Like, be willing to ask the difficult questions, especially with depression. Like, if you're hearing, wow, this is pretty dark for them, it's like, yeah, imagine there are times where you just feel like giving up hope altogether. And do you ever think about harming yourself, killing yourself? A lot of times people would say, don't ask them that, you're going to give them ideas. Like,
right.
We're smart people. We know that's a thing. Right. You're not going to create that. If anything, it's a relief. So let's say they hadn't thought of it, and now you're bringing that up. What you just told them is, hey, I can handle that. If that does show up, I can
right.
do that.
We can talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got the strength. I've got the capacity to then hold that for you. If that is something that they're carrying, what a gift that is to them that they don't have to carry that on their own. And oftentimes that's where you can see some of the emotions like, yeah, you know what? It is that hard. Because chances are they're not having that conversation with the cashier. They're not having that with other people. If they're then at work or even with kids, it's like, no, I'm holding that on my own. I'm in isolation there. But to actually bear somebody's burden is to come in and say, hey, what are you carrying? So the listen would be, don't jump into fixing. That's why I say that, like, supporting, resourcing, careful there. Like, sequence matters, like empathy before then the actual, like, fixing or feelings before fixing, that idea. Hear, understand, enter in, and then the resource part might be, like, I do this in counseling. Okay, God, speak right now. If there's something for this person I want to hear, I could say something that I think is incredible, and it falls on deaf ears or lands or it misses, but he can speak through a donkey. He can speak through me. He can speak through you as you're listening. Can we tune into that and say, your spirit's within them, interceding with groanings beyond words. Jesus at the right hand of the Father, interceding as well. I'm just here as a messenger, as a conduit. God, give me a message for them. And if there isn't one, the message is, I love you because I'm here. I'm caring for you. Mm. And that's that prayer part, which I think is huge for them. Like, so first off, there's power in prayer. Second, as a helper, it's huge to then actually engage with them in this. It can be a bit of an offloading. So if I'm the only person helping this person, man, that could be crushing. That could be overwhelming. But if I've got then the God of the universe who cares deeply about them and me with me, then actually entering in and, God, I thank you so much that so-and-so is sharing this with me and you know the weight, lift them up, comfort them. For me, even there's a bit of an offloading that happens. Like, that's right. It's not just me carrying them in this. And for them, it's a reminder that God knows, hears, cares. which is then huge. It actually then allows them to hopefully have some light come into the midst of what they're going through, which can start to then take some steps towards freedom from what they're carrying.
Yeah, yeah. Is there ever a time when it's good for, you know, a spouse or a close friend to say, like, just push through. Like, just, I know you're feeling bad, but come on out with us. Or I know you're so anxious, but if you just face it, like, is that push a helpful thing, or is that like, you shouldn't do that?
Yeah, I think sequencing. So a very helpful thing, but not the first. Because the risk would be, man, I'm struggling. You just got to push yourself. All right, you don't get it. I mean, is there truth there? Absolutely. If let's say it's anxiety. Anxiety, the risk is it creates a block to doing what it is that we need to do then going forward. And if there's no external motivation, no external support, a lot of times we'll then just be overcome by it and we pull back from it. Depression's huge in that because I don't feel like doing it. And if I don't feel like doing it and emotions are running the show, I'm not going to do it. External support is huge in that situation where, hey, you know what? Let's go for a walk right now. Like, if I followed my emotion, I don't feel like going for a walk, but okay, let's do that. Hey, how are you doing? Well, I wasn't talking about it outside of this, but you're asking, here we go. And what's happening? We start to push that train a little bit then together and get it going. So yes, but it starts with really entering in. Like I view it kind of like a pit, or you're almost like you're going down into a dark hole. Let's say depression, that person's in there. What we could do is bring a big light and be like, hey, come on, just come on. You got this. You can do this. Get out of this. Let's go. But how much more powerful, and they're probably going to receive it better if we can actually get down in there. Like, oh, it's dark in here. Like, this is really difficult. I imagine you're struggling in this. This is so hard. Oh, they get it more so. So when we bring that same truth, it now has a place to then, you get it, and okay, maybe I can hold some of this. But if you don't get where I am and you're just saying, kind of, buck up, let's get going, it's like, I'm on my own in this even more so. So then we can actually start to bring some of that light because we're in the darkness. Like I love even the imagery of that, that if I shine a big, like one of these big fat lights then into a dark place, that person's been in there, they actually want you to go away because it's like, this is too bright. Like shut that off. Like, oh, but light is good. It brings joy.
Yeah,
it brings uplifting, right? But if I can come down in there and then we get a little flicker going, it's like our phone, we make the flashlight a little bit brighter, all of a sudden we can adjust to that. I can receive it, I can take it in, there's a building up, and then we're going out together. Man, that makes a world of difference. So yeah, to answer your question, yes, but not first. And then sometimes we even need to ask, like, hey, are you open to hearing some thoughts that I have or possible next step or direction? And they say no, respect that. They say yes, good. You've now got place to, it's almost like you've got place to plant those seeds and see what happens there.
That's great. These days, pandemic is on. You know, there's a lot of things. As you've watched and seen, what are some of the areas where you've seen maybe added anxiety or where you, when you look down the road, you can say like, oh yeah, this is going to be an issue kind of going forward?
Yeah, I think I noticed right on the front end, first off, change. Like God wired us beautifully that we create these frameworks of this is how the world works. Here's what to expect here. Anything outside of that or new, all of a sudden our brain has to work a little bit more, takes a little more energy. Right. So the world changed all of a sudden. If you've got kids, what does that mean? If you're a university student, young adult, I'm either in a new position or trying to attend classes, that idea, how is this going to look? I don't know what the next day, week, month then looks like. Am I going to have my job? How are finances, relationships? That's been hard too. Like, hey, I love my spouse. They've been home a lot more. Okay, a little more exposure here. They're just, my rhythms are different. So that's been a lot. And that was on top of what people are already carrying. So if we go back, let's say 2019, there's still a load that people carry. Anxiety, depression. We could have done a podcast on that then. Like that's a thing. How do we? And then we throw in this extra level of COVID, which for some people, minimal impact, but at least some impact. For a lot of people, pretty significant. So, depression rates are way up. Like mental health has been really difficult. Talk with my therapist friends, network, like they're full. And they're full too, in the sense of they're human. They're going through things as well. And so, as a pastor as well, that your people who you care about and carry, that load is a little bit, everybody's carrying more in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been really hard. And so even now, as we're getting closer to, we don't know the timeline, which is hard, which means we have to like hold an open framework of it. It could be in a month. It could be in a year. I have no idea, right?
Yeah, I know.
So creating space for that, there can be an excitement, but I think you're going to find a whole range of experiences around that. Some people are like, today, let's just blow things up, like freedom. Let's do this. Let's run. Let's do all this. And others like, oh, I don't know. I've kind of adjusted to this. Like, what? Is this good? Is this what you want forever? No, but I'm kind of used to this. Change is hard. It's difficult. And so as we approach that, I think a big thing there would be, let's go slow and learn to say no. Like, I think that's kind of a big thing. And not no forever, but for now. And that's where I think our nervous system can help us with that, to where, oh, I'm feeling that a little bit. That's a lot. Okay, pay attention to that. That just means your pace. You need to watch your pace. Doesn't mean shut it down and no to everything, but just, hey, integrate, reintegrate slowly. Your brain's got to catch up. You need rest. Rest is huge. At the beginning of COVID, I was doing some talks around that, and rest was the big thing. Like, not a stop and don't do anything, but we have to slow things down to let our bodies and our brains catch up, or it'll catch up for you. All of a sudden, you're in burnout, or all of a sudden, physical sickness then comes in, or just relational stuff, all that. Like, let's pace ourselves as we reintegrate.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We think about all the pressure from the vast changes that came when it first started, but there's going to be some anxiety and some pressures as we go to reintegrate, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Back into whatever the new world looks like, but nevertheless, right? So there will be some of those kinds of anxieties around meeting people again socially, around getting back to church, back to school, you know, and what I'm hearing you say is just slow, go slow. Just listen to your yourself around that. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, boundaries are big, and that's a little bit of the knowing what to say yes to, what to say no to. And my recommendation there would be, so you're in an opportunity right now to then say, what is health? We're talking about emotional health, spiritual health, like what is healthy for me? If I could write the script of my life, which we don't have absolute control, but if I could put things in place for healthy living and thriving, and we've discovered pre-COVID, in COVID, coming towards hopefully post-COVID, what do I know about myself? What did I learn? So a bit of reflection. I seem to function best in this environment in these ways with these securities, and I seem to function worst when these factors are in place. Well, do you have control there? And so how do I want things to look going forward? Well, the more overscheduled I am, the more overwhelmed I then feel. Okay, so schedule, I need to lock that in. What do I schedule in? Like, man, I was exercising. It was kind of interesting. Early COVID, all these like aspirations, like I'm going to write a book. I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to do, cool, pace yourself. And a lot of times it's like the New Year's resolutions. They kind of peter off after a little bit. But look at some of the evidence, like be a student of yourself of how did that work for you at that time? Like, I had a little bit more energy there. Maybe it was overkill, but or exercise has been an anchor for me then through COVID. Here's the risk. You're going to get busy and it's off the table. Or, man, I've had really good time with the Lord and in the morning doing my devos and in ways that I didn't pre-COVID. Well, what's the risk? Let's say you've been working from home and now you have to go back into the office. Well, the risk is you lose that unless on the front end, that's an anchor for me. I need that to be in there.
Right.
Exercise an anchor for me. Time spent going for a walk with my spouse or doing this with my kids or dinner time, that thing. Those are the anchors. Say yes to those, put those in the schedule, and those are non-negotiables. A lot of times, especially family stuff, it's like, well, we'll see. There's flex there. It's like, no, make that an appointment that's going to have to be anchored. And then it's easier to say no, like, oh, unfortunately, I've got an appointment at that time. And that appointment might be sitting with your spouse. It might be hanging out with your kids. It might be dinner, like that idea. And so then it's easier to say no. And then you check your capacity after a bit. I think I'm pretty good. Even around like community group stuff of, hey, that's on the forefront. That's great. We need community. Yes, healthy, period.
Right.
What does that look like for you if you've taken a step back from that? Hey, we've been doing Zoom. Like, all right, I didn't like it. And then it's kind of normal. It's kind of nice. I don't have to get in the car and then go here and do that. And we get to meet in person. Awesome. But ooh, that's a little anxiety provoking there too. How's that going to be as we come back into it?
Yes, and of course.
So then looking at how's my capacity? Is that something that's healthy for me? Sure. At what point can I start to introduce that? And if I am, that means I'm probably going to have to say no to something else in there.
Right.
And that's okay if it's a value, a top priority, if that's healthy for you. But it takes that assessment piece. And last thought there would then be, but start up front. Like, okay, God, you've given me all the resources I have of time, energy, finances, relationships, everything then there. What is it that you want me to then anchor in? And really like strongly, prayerfully considering that, have those in place and God help me protect that. And then you start like practically looking at your schedule and making sure those are then in there as like, I haven't seen you in a year. Let's hang out. I haven't seen you in, the things are wide open, like social calendar, bing, 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 bing. I think that's what makes people most anxious, even though they're good things. It's just a lot of change right up front.
So there's going to be some people who like, they can't wait to open and they'll be like, hey, let's get together. And then there's others who are like, so both people kind of have to be aware of that, right? Like if I haven't seen you in a year, I say, let's get together. And you're like, no. That causes a little bit of anxiety for me too. Like, did my friendship end over this thing, like over the course of this year? And for the other person, wouldn't there be some anxiety saying like, oh, if I say no to them, that's going to be a problem for our relationship, right?
Yes.
Like, again, everyone seems to be moving a little bit different speeds around this whole thing.
Yeah. And I think part of it, can that be okay? Hearing more and more about introvert, extrovert, and different TED Talks around introverts. And I like that I'm kind of an ambivert, a little bit more introvert, but can be extroverted in there too. And generally, the vibe culturally is extroversion. That's king. And you don't like people? No, it has nothing to do with the dislike for people. I'm managing my resources of energy then here. Or the nature of more people versus greater depth with fewer people in there. But I like it's owning it. Like some people, it's like, oh, I'm more of an introvert, so I just have to watch my schedule. And it's kind of like, we can say that? That's a yeah, thing.
That's
so
right.
It's similar in this regard, just like, hey, I'm just feeling full with everything opening up. There's a lot going on. I have to manage energy. Like, oh, okay. I mean, worst case, they go, what? No, you don't. That's dumb. Like, no, I do. There we go.
Sure.
And then you hold to that. But it's not the craziest thing to say. It's actually, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Whereas for the other person, thought that came to mind is almost like the Black Friday, Cyber Monday type thing. Like, you've got the door crashers who are just like, open it, and they're running over people. It's like, let's hang out with everyone. Awesome, do that, that's great. But recognize you've got some Cyber Monday people just hoping on their computer that they can get the thing at home, and
that's
good
great.
For you. You both have your place, own it, and then acknowledge that, and then communicate that, and hopefully the people respect it, and if they don't, hold to it still. Because you need that, because you might actually have less relationship with that person if you don't hold the boundary. Because imagine if you're going Friday night, Saturday night, but let's do two things Saturday night. Because Jimmy and Susie, they want to hang out too. And then Tony and whatever, Tatiana, they want to hang out after. Tatiana. Yeah.
Yeah, it's making me anxious just talking about it. All right. This is great. This is really helpful. And that communication to just wherever you're at in that process to just let others know, like, I need more time, less time, I'm excited. And for us to have grace for one another as we kind of head towards that reopening of our world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's my last question in our conversation today. Is just, again, taking it back to Jesus and thinking again, how do we think about anxiety and depression in light of the gospel, in light of the hope that we have there? How would you sort of, help us think in that way around that?
Yeah, I think it's Francis Chan. He has this image in Crazy Love where it's like he pans out of the universe. It's like, we are sitting here in Maple Ridge right now in the province of BC, Canada, North America, Earth, solar system, just crazy. But that who are we that he is mindful of us, I think is huge. And not just he put things into place. And the beauty of the gospel is, okay, he sent his son. He left the perfection of heaven to then come down, enter into our world, to meet us in the muck of the world. He knew that. He wasn't surprised when he got here.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly then why he came, and he very intimately connected with us to give us salvation, to give us life, to give us hope and a future in that. That's enough. Like, we don't even deserve that.
Yeah.
And then he gave us his Holy Spirit to then guide us. And I love that you guys are doing the series on that too. And was it Luke 11 talks about you who are evil know how to give good gifts. How much more does your Father in heaven know how to give his Spirit than if you ask for it? And so fruits of the Spirit of then joy or peace, like in the midst of this, like patience, trusting him. We've got him, and we can ask him to fill us to overflowing in order to then navigate this, to be able to find hope in the midst of hopelessness, to find the light there. Like, God, fill me with this. Help me to see light, to understand. Help me to know truth, especially when my thoughts are then, they're really despairing. And it's like, I've got nothing to then live for. And God, give me like the sword of the Spirit, like Ephesians 6 stuff of the word of God. I need those truths in there to be able to battle that. We've got access to that. Like, even we're talking naturally, and God works through that. Talk with your doctor about this, exercise, do this, support. Yet God's in that, and he's over that and through that. And so it's coming to him saying, God, I need you to be my anchor. I need you to fill me for this day in order to then go out, surround me with people who can be a support to me in the midst of this, help calm my fears, like especially with anxiety. He is in absolute control. Nothing happens without, not a sparrow falls. He clothes the lilies of the field. Like, he cares deeply. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He loves you so much. He knows how you're wired. He knows what's in front of you. And anxiety, we like to control things, and he's in absolute control. And I know for me, if I'm worried or anxious about something or feeling down or discouraged, I am so hungry and dependent for him. Like, my starting the day, and just I'll have worship music on, open the word and just say, God, I'll take what you have for me. I need you here. And some days this joy comes in and it fills, and I so needed that. And other days I'm not feeling it, but I'm still taking it in. And it's just like, I'm going to keep coming back to the well. So yeah, what difference does it make? We've got the God of the universe who intimately cares, not only giving us salvation and eternity, but his Spirit to then guide us every step of the way. And he's not then saying on the outside of that pit, get out, come on, what's going on?
Right.
He's in there with us. And I get the sense he's there, he's looking around, and he's loving us. And it's more around us than surrendering to him, saying, God, I desperately need you in this. Lift me up, calm me down, and then trusting him every step of the way.
Amen. Man, we have a good Savior, don't we?
Yeah, I mean,
God cares for us. So, Josh, thank you for coming and taking time sharing those insights and wisdom for us as we continue to follow Jesus in these days.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.